is turned on, and then I will say it again. Advisement started yesterday, and you really should sign up and do advisement and see your advisor. Not only because that helps you get a schedule and get the right courses and the right times you want them and everything, but the other reason is that if you don't sign up, the classes that you want may get canceled, because if there's not enough people in them, they get canceled. And frequently you will have a class that doesn't go. And we are going to look at a raise. You can download a raise. NextVB, I think, has one that we're going to look at. The read and the write we probably won't get till today, because I'm going to give you some time to work on the first homework assignment so that you can try some Visual Basic. Next Tuesday, there is no class, because Monday's classes are being held next Tuesday. Okay?
So we only see you 1 week, and then the next
week? Next week, you only see us once, too. So the next week is Thanksgiving, so. Why is that coming out in everybody today? Everybody is whacked out today.
He always is.
Okay. Yeah.
First off, I resent that.
Go ahead.
Secondly, this is like the third best Thursday I've ever experienced in my life.
Oh, really? That's good.
No, it's a complete lie. Just for 1 second.
Okay. So, open, when you get it open, open the array one. Okay, we're going to look at the array one. Are you okay opening Visual Basic? Because you weren't here. Okay. Thank you. If you don't see the form, and somebody, I think in the other class mentioned this, if you don't see the form when you open it, click on the form name down here. And yours is probably Form 1. So you click on the form name, and then it will open. Okay. And the toolbox, I have got the pin turned on its side so that it's showing over here, because I've already designed the form. And I don't need the toolbox. If I want to add something to it, I can click on it and bring up the toolbox like that. But I don't want it, so I'm leaving it over on the side. Okay. So on this one, I've got a situation where I can enter a department number. Okay, so I will run that. And I enter a department number, let's say it's 2, and I say get department name, and it comes back with department name. Okay. Now, if I want to see the code for this, I can click on the box in the design mode, and it brings up the code. Okay, so if I click on the box in design mode, it brings up the code. So what I've got here is an array, and we've briefly looked at arrays in JavaScript too. What an array is I use the same name, but to tell it which one I really mean, I put a subscript in parentheses. So I tell it I really want department name 1. I really want department name 2. So in the form one department load, okay? So I've got a form load. Now, how do I get a form load as opposed to a click event? If I click on any blank place on my form, it will double click on any blank place on my form. It will create the load event. Okay, that's the load event. And if I click on any blank area in my form, it will create the load event. As opposed to when I click on a button, double click on a button, it creates a click event. A blank area in my form will create the load event. The load event is basically housekeeping. It's something I want to do once when the program gets loaded. Okay, I don't want to do it repeatedly, I want to do it once. So in the load event, I'm setting up the array, and I'm saying department one is going to be girls, department two is going to be boys, department three is going to be infants, and so forth. Okay, so if I enter a one and hit department name, I get girls. If I were to enter a six and click department name, I get invalid department number. And looking down at the code in a minute, we'll see how that happened. Okay, so at the top, I define the array, and I said dim department name 5, which is the maximum that's okay in here, as a string, okay? So it's set up an array, and actually I didn't use it, but there was also a department 0 that is not equivalent to anything. But I set up a department 0. So when they click on the get name, it comes down here and it turns that, make sure that that's a number. Val over there, C integer, C des, all make sure that it's a number. And so I'm saying val of text department number dot text greater than 0. Okay, so there is a zeros one, but I'm saying I only want to see things that are greater than 0. And things that are less than 6. So I'm saying I only want things 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that matches with what I've set up my array to hold in the load. I've got department array 1, department name 1, department name 2, down through 5. So I'm saying if it's not one of those 5 numbers, then it's not valid. So if it's greater than 0 and less than 6, then I'm going to process. Else I'm putting out invalid department number. Okay.
Why would you need 2 if statements? Can't you just use one of those?
Which 2?
If it's greater than 0 or less than 6.
And, I want to end there, but what do you mean by...
That's what I was saying. Can't you just include one of those instead?
No, because I want it to be greater than 0. I don't want it to be 0. I don't want it to be 0. And it's got to be less than 6. Because if I eliminate those, it's going to crash on me. Okay? So this gets me within the frame of 1 to 5, so I know it's right. And if somebody put in a negative number, it would also catch that. Not that people ordinarily put in negative numbers, but if they did, it would catch that as well. Now, if they get the right number, I'm saying go to the department name array and use the department number. And once it finds a match to the department number, it can then pull it out. Okay, so it goes in and finds a match to the department number. So what I've got here is an array, and the array has room for actually 6 slots. But I'm not using the zeroth one. okay, because most companies don't actually have a department zero. You feel used and abused if they assign you to department zero, okay? So these are all called department name. And I've defined department name as going up through five, okay? So one is gonna be girls, two is boys, three is infants, four is toys, and five is books. And zero I didn't use. Okay. So I've got one, two, three, four, five, six, four, five. Anything above five I didn't use. So all of these are called department name. So I can't say, does the make the text name dot text equal the department name? Because it would say which department name. You use the name department name five times, six times. Which one are you talking about? Just a sec. So I have to put the which one I'm talking about into the parenthesis. And this is called an index. It can also be called a subscript. It can also be called a pointer. But index is the more official name for it. Yeah.
So if you said that the number inputted must be less than six, but you did not say it has to be greater than zero, and you put in zero.
Let's try it. That's what I'm going to do, actually, is experiment, and there's been enough asking about that, so let's experiment. Okay, so I'm going to comment out everything having to do with testing. And I'm just going to leave it here that I'm going to go and get text department number.txt, okay, as the subscript. Whatever is typed in there, I'm going to use it as a subscript, okay? So, if I now run this, and first I'll put in a six and say get department name, and it crashed. Okay? It crashed, it highlighted where the problem was, and put an X there to let me know that that was a problem. So I now know that the problem is on that line. Okay? So that's what happened when I put in a six. Okay. Now we will try again. And I will put in a zero. I was perfectly happy with that, but it just doesn't show me anything.
Because zero exists within the array.
A zero is within the array. So it's happy with that. But it's giving me empty because I didn't set up. And we'll look at that in a minute. So now, what about if I put in a negative 2? Negative 2, it crashes. So a negative 2 crashes as well. Okay? Now, if I wanted to, I could make the 0... I could put in here department name zero. Equals invalid. Okay. So now I've told it that the department name zero is invalid. And why is everything...
You have to just move away from it.
No, it's more than that. For some
sometimes
reason...
if you just backspace on some of them, they'll just end up being the same.
Yeah, no, I'm going to somehow I managed to really mess this whole thing up.
That's what happened last time with the errors that I was having with the same problem.
The way you put a quotation instead of an equal sign.
Okay, that's what I was going to say, is next time we have to debug. So where do I have the... you're right.
Zero space, yeah.
And magic happens.
Nice.
Okay, good catch. So now it's saying zero. And so I'm going to run this.
I love how just one error on one tab just ruins everything.
Yes. But doesn't it feel nice when you fix one error and they all go away? So now if I put in zero, I'm getting the word invalid. And in that case, if I don't expect negative numbers, I could go to what he asked about originally, which was, why did I need to ask a double if? As long as I trust people not to put in negative numbers, now I could go to just the value less than 6, and it would be fine. Okay.
I actually tested on my machine. I took up the less than 6 and it gave me the error.
Okay. And so now if I put an A here and say get department name, it also crashes. Okay? Because it can't use an A as an index. It needs a number from 0 to 6.
So when you're using an array, it's always the truth.
Yes. Always, when you're using an array, you have to use a valid number, a valid index. So I have to have a valid index here in order to use it to point to the array. Okay. So putting in an A there, and it says conversion from string A to type integer is not valid. In other words, I can't do it. I can't convert an A into a number. Okay? So it's telling me that.
Could you do that with an if statement?
You could definitely. You could do it. It can't.
Right.
I can write a thing in there that says if somebody enters an A, make it a 0. Okay? If they enter a B, make it a 1. Whatever I want to do. I can write code to handle most anything.
It just requires
a lot of code, too. And it just looks like having a clue what you're doing. Okay, so it's nice to try to convince people that you know what you're doing. So if I take these back out, okay, I hopefully have one that will run now. And so now if I put in a 0, it's still fine, and it's giving me the invalid department number. Because I said if it's greater than 0 and less than 6, it's fine. Otherwise, show invalid department number. Okay, so it's showing invalid department number there. Okay, so I'm going to close this solution, and the other things that we're looking at are mainly going to be somewhat review-ish, and then we can give you some time to start writing. Next VB has an if statement in here. There are two programs in there. Okay, so this one has an if statement, or a series of if statements, and a series of pieces of data taking in. So I'm taking in a branch, a department, budget, how much I've spent, and how much I've committed. Okay? And I am going to check it in a variety of if statements. So if I look at this code, Okay. I've got at the top one way of doing it, and I've got four different things that I'm going to look at. One of the things that I did was I defined work dip as an integer and made it have an initial value of zero. And that's global. So that means any one of my routines can use work diff because I defined it up at the top. If I define something inside, which is what I did down here, I defined a bunch of things inside, those are only local. Okay? And those can only be used in this subroutine. These are local, this one is global. The initial value is not required, but lots of times people do it just to make sure that the field starts out clean with zeros in it. Okay? So that's local, that's global. So if I run this, okay, and I'm going to put in Boston Department 12, budget $100,000, spent $45,000, committed $12,000. Okay? So that's the data that I've put in. So now I'm going to look and see what happens. This first calculate goes with the first button calculate up there. Okay? So if I click on calculate, it comes back with 4,300. Okay, so what it did was it added the amount that I spent, which was 45,000. It added the 12, that gave it 57. And 57 from 100 is 43. So it did the adding of those and then subtracted it from budget and gave me difference. And then I wrote out difference. Okay? So on that one, I did it all in one calculation. On the second one, it told me two things. It told me how much I had spent and committed and how much I had left to spend. Okay, now this one I made much more tedious because I defined a work area for every one of my calculations. So I have work budget, work spent, work committed, work from budget. And I said, okay, take the text that came in as budget and put it in work budget. Take the text that came in as spent and put it in work spent. Take what came in as committed and put it in work committed. Add, spend, and committed, put it in from budget. Do a subtract to get amount left. I beat it to death, basically. Okay, and that's, you know, just to show you that you can have work areas for everything and do all of that. But I would never actually do that. That was, you know, overkill by far. But notice that when I did it, when I move text budget to work budget is an integer. So it did the conversion for me. And I know at least that I have a number there. If I was doing the math, I would have had to have said the val of those. Okay? But it did the conversion. So when I added them up, because I had defined them up here as numeric, it had enough sense to know that I wanted to do an add. Okay? So I didn't have to put val or C integer or C decimal in there to do the conversion.
So because you made it as an integer at the beginning, it didn't concatenate.
Right. It didn't concatenate. Okay? Now, every version that comes out, I always look at those kinds of things and say, is it still working the way it used to work? Because every once in a while something changes. But work spent plus work committed were both defined as integers, And so it assumed that I wanted to add as opposed to concatenate.
Okay.
And then going down, okay, on this one, I said A and either B or C. So I wrote separative statements. On this one, I'm writing all one-if statements. So I'm saying A has to be true and either B or C. And where have you seen that particular thought before? We looked at it in Access. We looked at it in JavaScript. One thing has to be true in either of two others. So on this one, I said, if it's Boston, then you can continue. If it's not Boston, the else comes down here, and I write out does not meet criteria. Okay, because I said A had to be true. The first thing had to be true. Boston has to be true. TextBranch.text equals Boston. If it does equal Boston, then I ask, is the budget greater than 5,000? And if it is, I say it meets the criteria. Else, I have another chance. And that is the work total greater than TextBudget.text divided by 2? And notice that I was able to put a calculation in here. Is work total greater than, and I actually put a whole calculation in there. If it is, then it meets the criteria, else it doesn't. So what I've got here is, if it's Boston, and then I ask, okay, is it greater than, is the budget greater than 5,000? And if it is, then it meets. If it's not, it doesn't seem to want to let me do that. If it's not, then I ask another question about work total. I'm asking a question about root total. If it meets that, then I've got meets. If it doesn't meet that, then I've got that it does not meet. And if it's not Boston, I've got that it is not meeting the criteria. So this is the flowchart you've seen before and the logic that you've seen before, where I'm saying Boston has to be true. And if Boston's true, either of these things can be true. Okay? So, because these things are the same, let me take a picture first before I mess it up. Okay. If these two are the same, and these two are the same, which they are, then I can make this a compound. Okay? If they were different, then I have to write separative statements because they're going to act differently. But if they're the same, then I can write a compound, okay? So if I go down to the next one, I've got the compound where I'm saying, if it's Boston and either of these things, and I've got the parenthesis around the either of these things. Okay, which is the same way that you've done it in other languages. Okay. So I've got that, and I've got that. Because I have those, I'm saying Boston and either of these. So this is an either of these. so same flow chart, but because they were the same, I could do it this way. If these were the neats were different, then I'd have to ask separately. If the knots were different, I'd have to ask separately. But this way I can make it a compound. Okay. Questions? Close the solution. Do you want to stop debugging? Yes. And on the other one under here is more of a repeat. I just have a while loop and I have a do loop. And they just do very basic things. If you want to look at that, you can. And then the next things, and then these are first if, first project is very, very basic, and first if I think actually is too. Yeah, this is just asking very simple questions. Okay. Here I'm saying I did a calculation and I'm checking to see if it's greater than 1,000 and reacting to either of them. Here I said it's got to be CI, and then if the budget is greater than 5,000, you put out one thing. Else you put out another. If it's not CI, I say not the CI department. So those are basic if statements again. Yes.
These are also, your bias is also not like that.
This one isn't? This one I downloaded last night. Is everybody else's the same as mine?
She's on
first. You're on first.
She's on first.
Okay. That's why. All right. Well, because I actually, after Tuesday's whoops, I've already fixed this up. I actually downloaded them, so I'd have the same version as you did.
The other thing is that you had, I think you're on whoops because you had whoops after, and then you decided to go to this one.
Oh, okay. And you went to the first one. Yeah, the first one is not even the closet.
It's the Ruby one.
Yeah.
No. Not that one.
Okay, what I want to do now is give you, you've got about 40 minutes. I want you to start working on the homework assignment if you haven't yet. Because I want you to have a chance to start working on it in class where you can ask questions. Okay? So start working on the homework assignment. And we will finish up VB next Thursday. So I said, go get the JavaScript assignment. And the first JavaScript assignment is under week 6. So go get that and write it as Visual Basic. So for the first one, it says take in the height, width, and length of a box. So you're going to have what on the form to do that? If you want to be able to take in the height, width, and length, you're going to set up boxes, text boxes, to take in those three things. And it would be nice if you put a label on them so you know where to enter the height, the width, and the length. And then you're going to have a button that you can click on. It's going to be a click event. And then you're going to have another text box to put in the answer, which is the body. And then you're going to ask a message, and you're going to have a text box to display the message. Okay, so you're going to have an if statement, ask a message, and display it. You can do this with one button, or you could have it for two buttons. You could have one button do the calculation and one button ask the if, or you can do it all in one button. So, I'm assuming nobody is far enough ahead that they actually did this between Tuesday and now. So, start working on it so that you can ask questions.
If it counts, I downloaded Visual Basic last night.
Did you? Good.
Extra credit.